Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, today is the last day that we will talk on that subject of creating the opportunities for prosperity. Now, what I want to talk about today, we'll take a text from the book of Hebrews chapter 6, and that will help me explain it from verse 10. He said, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints." He said, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now, why I read this is to highlight an important issue concerning this matter of creating the opportunity for prosperity, a matter which, if I don't highlight, a lot of people might get discouraged, because the Bible says that hope that is deferred makes the heart faint. I want to talk about the issue of patience in realizing a promise, in realizing a hope. We have spoken extensively about the fact that you and I, all of us together, we do something that will produce prosperity in our environment, that will produce prosperity in our community. After laying the spiritual foundation about the things that are inside the heart, I pointed out a number of issues that we have to do outwardly, all right, that will help us create those opportunities. I said that everybody has a gift, and that if you exercise your gift accordingly, according to Paul, all right, it will become a skill, and that is what God will use to lift you up in life. That a special contribution that you are going to make into the lives of people is particularly hanging around the equipment that God has placed inside your soul, which is what we call your gift. Are you getting the point I'm making? We say we use it diligently. I emphasize the word diligence severally. I emphasize the fact that we cannot be slothful, but we must be diligent, that we must not be sluggish in business. Like he said here in Hebrews chapter 6, we mustn't be sluggish, but we must be imitators of those who through faith and patience, I will explain that, now that we will apply ourselves to the thing that we are doing, that even though the thing may not produce quickly, which is what I want to emphasize again today, we still have to apply ourselves to it. Diligence is very important. And I explained the fact that when God gives us resources, he said, I minister seed to the sower and bread for food. The money that God gives you is not so that you can just feed and be fat, but that you'll be able to use that to create opportunities for prosperity, not only for yourself, but for those who are around you. He said in Psalm 126, he said, "Restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert." And God said, if you want me to do that, you have to sow in tears so that you might reap with joy. And last time, I emphasized the issue of faithfulness, that life has seasons. And I took two important seasons, that one season is that in which you labor in the house of another person, is that in which you labor with that which does not belong to you. And I said the faithfulness with which you do that, even though the person who owns it is getting more than you, you know, the faithfulness with which you do that is what decides whether God will give you that which belongs to you or he will not. And those were the very words of Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 16. Now, let me emphasize that again. Wherever you are working, you are not working for your boss, you are not working for yourself, you are working for God. That is number one. And then let me put it on that way. Wherever you are working, you're not working just for your boss, but you're also working for your future. You are sowing a spiritual seed. Please don't forget one thing I keep emphasizing in all my teachings, is that life is basically spiritual. That which you throw into the realm of the spirit today is what will return to you in the future as harvest. That the Bible says that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. That is, your season of seed is the season in which you are laboring with that which does not belong to you. And your labor, it appears, is going into the house of Laban. But at the season of harvest is when God will say, yes, it is time to pay this guy back for all the good work he has done while laboring for somebody else. And I said, until the testimony is that you have changed the place where you are currently, then you cannot step into the next season of your life. But what I want to emphasize today, in closing this whole discussion, is from this book of Hebrews chapter 6, where he says that we must be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let me explain the meaning of the word patience. Patience means that I have discovered that which is good, and I don't stop doing it until I inherit the promise. Now, listen, God is a good God, and he answers prayers. But the manifestation of his answers do not always come quickly. The problem with people is that they don't understand that doing right is a seed. And the gap between the time you sow the seed for doing right and when you get the harvest can often be long. And you will only see the harvest if you are patient. Do you get my point? In sowing that seed. That is, you know what is right and you continue to do it. Because the mistake people make sometimes is that they think that you are telling them, do this and you will quickly get a result. I remember once I was somewhere, I was teaching, and I was explaining to people that they should not be selfish. They should think about other people first before they think about themselves. And I just said, just to emphasize my point and make a bit of a joke, I said, before you start thinking and praying about, God, please, I want a car. I said, at least one day you say, buy a spare tire for somebody as a gift who already has a car. And at the end of the message, I couldn't believe it. One young man walked up to me. He said, sir, what you are saying now is that if I need a car, I should give out a spare tire. I said, my God, I never said that. I never said it. Because you see, sometimes that's what people hear when you are talking. You are saying serious things. What I said was, don't be self-minded. Don't think about yourself alone. I said, before you even think about buying a car for yourself, why don't you even give out a gift one day and let that gift be just a part of a car? You get the point I'm going to make. I mean, maybe you don't have a car yet and a friend of yours saves up money and he buys one. I said, buy him a box of plugs. Buy him a fan belt. Buy him something just to contribute into the blessing that's inside somebody's life. Are you getting my point? And what somebody has heard was that, Oga, you said if we want a car, we should give out spare tire. Please, I never said that. Please, I need to emphasize this. You talk sometimes, you preach like this, people think you are saying that just do this and prosperity is yours. Just do this and instantly you become abundant. I haven't said that. This is the mark of Christianity. This is a mark of godliness, that I am doing what is right, not first because of what I am going to get. Listen to me. God is very just. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. But, God does not expect a man to sow only because of what he's going to get. Are you getting my point? Remember the story of Job. The argument was not whether Job was a righteous man. When God and Satan were going to argue and bet on the life of Job, it's not whether Job was righteous. It was why he was righteous that was the issue. Are you getting my point? Satan said he's righteous because he's getting. God said, no, he is righteous because he loves me. He's righteous for the sake of righteousness. And I'm talking about creating the opportunities of prosperity in this series. And I'm explaining that we have described that which is the right to do. And I am saying to you, according to the word of God, and I'm declaring to you prophetically, that if you do that which is right, there is a just recompense of reward that God will bring upon your head. But I am not saying that do this just because of the result. I'm saying do it because it is the right thing. Listen to me. If I preach to you and say, use that which belongs to your boss as if it belongs unto the Lord, do not try to cheat. Do not try to get that which doesn't belong to you. Do not become like the unfaithful steward in Luke chapter 16 who was misusing his master's good. I am not saying that once you stop doing that, tomorrow you will discover that God will just pour plenty upon you. No. Where you were getting, because maybe instead of the normal pay of 5 naira you were getting, your extra runs was earning you 15. When you obey the word of righteousness, you may go back to managing only 5 naira. But what have I said? You must manage the 5 naira. As long as it is your just reward, you must accept it. Because one day God will see the patience with which you are accepting it. Then he will lift you up to another level. And that is my emphasis as I close. The word patience. That there is something that God wants to do. You must continue doing good. No matter how long it takes God. Do you get my point? To come out with blessing upon you. Listen to me. If your spirit is right. I need to emphasize this. Because we look at Abraham and we will say Abraham waited for Isaac for 25 years. But one thing I have come to understand is that Abraham did not wait for Isaac for 25 years in the idea of let's wait for 25 years before we are delivered. Are you getting my point? But that Abraham waited for Isaac every day. That is, he waited for Isaac one day at a time. But because his spirit was right, the wait is not as long as we think it was. As far as he was concerned, it was not that long. It's later on he will look back and say, you mean this was 25 years we were waiting? You know, yesterday I was watching on TV the story of how some people were rescued from a mine that got flooded. They were trapped inside a mine about 100 meters under the earth. And you know, there was something I noticed that my wife and I were discussing it. This was somewhere in the United States, one of the states in the U.S. And I told her, I said, you know, one of the things that these men know, they know that as long as they don't die, they will come out of this place. They know that outside, their people are working hard to bring them out of that pit. And of course, within the first 12 hours, I think thereabout, they had signs that the people were digging. And they saw something that they dug into their tunnel where they were trapped. And of course, now listen to this. What the story I want to bring out is that they were trapped under the earth for a total of about 78 hours under the earth. No food in 78 hours. I don't think they had water to drink. Now listen to me. They knew people were walking. Are you getting my point? They knew they just needed to stay alive. They took some measures down there to try and block the flooding water from reaching them. That is, they just wanted to stay alive. The people above, working to rescue them, knew that air was thinning out, so they started pumping air in for them to stay alive. When they came out, they showed the clip of them being brought out through a new hole that was dug. At the end of 78 hours, I said, if you told those men they were down for 3 days and plus, they wouldn't believe it. Because for those 3 days, they hardly slept. They were in their hearts. They knew we had to sit down here and wait. We can't go anywhere. Until my change comes, Job said, this is what I will do. I will keep waiting on the Lord. Are you getting the point I'm making? And I'm emphasizing to us, we must learn that principle of waiting. Because eventually, the people, each one of them was rescued. They were tired, they were frail, but they were rescued. Are you getting my point? Because they waited. They waited. There's one proverb I've quoted several times, and I like to quote it again that my people have, and they say that a child that does not die must become an adult. Listen to me, if you practice the righteousness of God, if you take all these principles, you know, I've been teaching the way of success. People hear me, they see me sometimes and say, this man is a motivational speaker. I say, well, good, if you are motivated, fine. But really, I'm not a motivational speaker. I am teaching the principles of life that are established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, I'm not telling you to be motivated and you will succeed. I am telling you that if you are motivated and you have the blessing of God and you wait, eventually God's blessing will come upon you. I am not telling you to fight against forces stronger than you. I am telling you that if you do the things I'm saying, you are in the company of a force greater than every other one. He said that the Lord is established in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. Are you getting my point? He said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory, he said, that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, so what's the point I'm making? That we are doing what is right, it does not always beget quick results. The man who walks righteously as a young man may not quickly get what his colleagues who are walking unrighteously are getting. That's why Jeremiah said, it is good for a young man to bear his burdens in the day of his youth. Listen, there are things you will deny yourself for the sake of godliness. Please, I must emphasize that. You will deny yourself some temporary gain for the sake of godliness. But I'm saying that the Bible says that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise for the life that now is and that which is to come. That is, you might deny yourself of godliness today, but tomorrow you will inherit the promise of God. See what he said? Hebrews chapter 6. He said, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that is the appointed time. He said that you may not be sluggish or lazy, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Please, I want you to understand the meaning of the word until. Because there's what is called the principle of the appointed time in the Bible. Now, God has appointed a blessing for you. Anyone listening to me, obeying the voice of his servant, God has appointed a blessing for you. Every word of God is tied to a blessing. Are you getting my point? Anytime God speaks his word, there is a blessing inside it. What I'm saying is absolutely correct. But it says something, if you read Isaiah chapter 2, that we have blessings that God has promised. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 towards the end, the same thing that Paul said, that we have blessings that God has promised. But it now said in verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, seeing that we have these promises, let us purify ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah said his own like this. It said, come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. What am I trying to explain? That the principle of due season, this is how it works. God has a plan. You have to qualify for the blessing inside that plan. Please follow what I'm saying. That is, when God wants to pour a blessing that will last, this is the beautiful thing about the blessing of God, the endure. A man of God taught me many years ago, he said the blessings of God endure to at least 3 generations. And that is why God will introduce himself then with the name of 3 generations. He will say, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, I am the God of Jacob. When Jesus was going to pray, he said, I'm praying not only for them, he said, but I'm also praying for those who will believe through their word. That is, he, Jesus, being the first generation, his disciples being the next generation, and those who will believe through the words of the disciples being the 3rd generation. He was explaining that the blessings of God, that's how they last. If you see a man that is blessed, it is not only him that is blessed, but his children and his children's children. Usually, he is so blessed that even though his children are unable to manage the blessing, it still does not finish in their generation. Now, what am I trying to explain? A man who is waiting for God's blessing, a woman who wants to be blessed by God should know that that is where we are going. Are you getting my point? We are not talking about temporary flash in the pan. All right? You appoint a man to government today. He chops plenty of money today. They sack him after 2 years. The 3rd year, he's begging. He's broke. He's looking for one job or the other. Somebody give me something. He's the vintage unrighteous steward who has mismanaged the money of his master. And he says, when I'm sacked, I either go for hard work or I start begging. But we are talking about the blessing of God that endures. Listen, it delays in coming. It doesn't come quickly. Because God first tests the man. There's what the Bible calls the weight of glory. What is glory? Glory is the manifestation of the blessing of God in a man's life. Glory is the manifestation when a woman has obeyed God and God said, now this is my blessing. Carry it. Listen to me. That glory, it has weight. I was discussing with a man of God like this one day, and I just mentioned this issue, that look, the blessings of God, they are weighty. Then he pointed out to me that the word glory, in the Greek, the word is doxa, which literally means weight. That is, the word for glory in the Bible is weight. That's why the Bible will call it the weight of glory. I'm trying to explain something. God knows that the blessing he wants to pour upon you, it's heavy to carry. Do you get my point? So the period that you are waiting for that blessing is the period in which he's teaching you how to walk when the blessing will have come upon you so that the blessing does not destroy you. Listen, before the children of Israel entered into the promised land, God gave them the laws in the wilderness by which they would live in the promised land. What am I trying to explain? Young man, young woman, listen to me. In the days of adversity, that is when the Bible says you should consider. That is, check life. What is life about? What am I going to do if God blesses me? Sometimes, you know, one of the things I like to do is I just imagine a great blessing from the hand of God, that if he were to come to me, how will I handle it? You know the interesting part? Those, I believe very strongly, those thoughts are dropped by the Spirit of God to check the preparedness of your heart for his blessing. And every response you give, listen, is deciding how quickly, do you get me, that blessing will come. But your response is modified by the amount of training you have had. If you heard the word of God, it changes your attitude. And then that thought drops in your mind one day, and you say, if this were to happen, this is what I would do. And then one day, God will make it happen in a small fashion. So as to test whether really you are ready for that thing. Please, do you get the point I'm making? What am I trying to emphasize? That we have discussed at length creating the opportunities for prosperity. As I'm closing now, I just like to review a number of points. Don't forget, number one, prosperity is inside the heart. The opportunities are first created inside the heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so his experiences outside will be. Are you getting my point? That if you have faith in your heart, it will produce results outside. When the word of God comes to you, he said the word becomes flesh when it is mixed with faith in the heart. I'm putting some scriptures together. He said the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. God is God and there is none else. Your nation is not God, America is not God, Britain is not God, Australia is not God, South Africa is not God. What does that mean? It means the blessing of God is not tied to any geographical location, but it is tied to where God has located you. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, if God wants to bless you, he can bless you anywhere. Please get the point. God is not limited by the things around. He said promotion does not come from the east or the west, not from the south. He said, but God is judge. Please, we have established that. I said, another thing we must understand about this heart thing is that when we are thinking, how are we thinking? We must think like God. Do you get my point? Why do you want what you want? What is your thoughts when you talk about prosperity? How do you define prosperity? There is a satanic way of defining prosperity. Jesus said that the rulers of this world, they lord it over them. For some people, prosperity means the ability to oppress, the ability to drive by and slap a man who offends you and nothing will happen, the ability to commit a crime and kill it with money. Do you get my point? To him, that's what he calls prosperity. That is satanic. Because the princes of this world, they lord it over people. And that is not of God. But you, Jesus said, your own prosperity, I'm putting my words to bring out the thing that Jesus said now, your own prosperity is your opportunity to be of service to people. Are you getting my point? That is, how do you define things? If you define them the way God said they should be defined, then you are ready to receive the power of God working on your behalf to produce results in your life. Remember what I said? Everybody has a definition for the word job. What do you call a job? A job is that, in the plan of God, that gives you the avenue to impact somebody else's life positively. Are you getting my point? When you define money, what does it mean in your heart? When you define prosperity, like I said, what does it connote when you are thinking? Once you are in agreement in your definitions, because a wicked man, we said, is known by the way he thinks that are different from the way God thinks. The wicked man, Isaiah chapter 55, tells us that his thoughts are not God's thoughts, and his ways, therefore, are not God's ways. Are you getting my point? I said, once you can synchronize with God in your thinking pattern, why do I do business? Why do I wake up in the morning? Why am I married? Why do I want to be a father? Why do I want to get married if I'm not married yet? Why do I want a job? If you can decode God's reason, oh please, I hope you get my point. Because God has a thought for everything. Are you getting my point? I mean, Hannah wanted a child. She waited year by year because the reason why she wanted a child was to answer Penina that me too, I can bear. And God said, that's not the reason why I'll give you a child. Then one day she walked into the temple and said, this is why I want a child now. I want a child with which I can serve you. Listen, the nation of Israel, they had the right to redeem every firstborn male. But after Anna gave birth to Samuel, she redeemed him according to the commandment of God and then gave him back into the temple. When that was in her heart, God said, then you are ready. You are now thinking like me. You are ready for my blessing. And then not only did Samuel come, 5 other children came after him. And Hannah became a blessed lady. And don't forget the other thing Hannah said, that once we have put all the spiritual things together, there are things that we do outwardly. I said before you were born, God created you to solve a problem. And for that reason, he created your inward parts with a special ability. And that's what Paul called gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. I said when you exercise your gift, seest thou a man who is skillful in his work, who is diligent in his business, he said he will stand before kings. And he will not stand before mean men. I said, there is a skill that God has given you. And he said, God ministers seed to the sower and ministers bread for food. That is out of the resources that God gives you, some of it is seed. And when we say seed, there is spiritual seed. Spiritual seed is that which you use to honor God. The one that you give to the poor. The one that you use to get involved in the work of the spread of the kingdom of God. But there is also physical seed, I emphasize upon it, which is that you invest in your skill. Which is that you invest in somebody else's skill. That is material investment, which you do not just because of gain that you want for yourself, but because you have realized that without that seed, God will not pour water. Because God said, I will pour water upon the seed that you have sown. I hope you are getting my point. And we said that apart from that, of course, there's a matter of diligence. I now said there is faithfulness. First, God puts you in a stage in which you work with another person's resources, and your labor seems to be mostly going into the house of another. The man who's paying you 1 naira is earning 2 naira from your head, we know, but it's a season in life. The faithfulness you demonstrate in that season is what decides, Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, whether God will give you your own. You got the point? I said, when you have done all of these things, then you wait. Paul said, having done all, stand. Wait patiently, I say, wait for the Lord. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org. or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.